Welcome to the XBLA Fancast, episode 10 for Tuesday, April 26, 2011. Brought to you by XBLAFans.com, your number one site for XBLA news and discussion. I'm John Laster, your editor-in-chief, and I'm joined this week by Tyler, Andrew, and Steven.
What is up, guys? This is Tyler, associate editor, and I'm very happy to be joined with you guys today. Andrew, what's up, man?
How much? This is Andrew Cruz, writer for XBLA Fans.
Hey, Fit Boys and Girls, it's Steve Haberman. I'm a staff writer for XBLA Fans.
All right, awesome. And we got a lot of discussion and stuff to talk about today, especially now that we've got Andrew off Loadrunner. I know he loves that game, assuming he doesn't die from the tornado that is in his area. And
that might be better than a more Loadrunner. I don't know. We'll see.
I will say you are a masochist when it comes to playing that game. But
I am.
Bastion has reached code complete, and that game doesn't suck. So I'm going to let Steve talk to us about it.
Yeah, we've got one hell of a game coming. We've got some coverage on it on XBLAFans.com. I got some hands on Bastion at PAX East, and I happened to sit down and do an interview with the one of the developers. The developers for the Giant Games, and we did some content about their dynamic commentary. And our dynamic commentator, their narrator, is basically one of their friends who just kind of walked in and be like, "Hey guys," and they're like, "Oh man, this voice." I mean, how do you tell your buddy that, like, you're like, "Oh, could you just read the Bible or, you know, any other book that you have in the area in this hotel room?"
I think I'd be okay with that if the person happened to be, you know, Sean Connery or anyone else epic like that, James Earl Jones,
exactly,
Morgan Freeman.
So this
is playing Bastion.
Not the devil.
this is a good game. Yes.
That sounds like, what was it, the bad guy from Gadget. Inspector Gadget with the cat.
That voice hurts so much to do.
don't do it anymore. But...
You think you're the only one hurt by that voice. I think we all are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so this guy has a better voice. you can hear it. You can hear it in the trailer. We have it on the site connected to our article. But this game is basically an action RPG, specifically designed so that your voice or your character is called the Kid by the narrator throughout the game, and the Kid is basically running all throughout a level that is being built in front of him. He is creating the world. He is rewriting the story. And the narrator is both telling you the story as well as telling you what you have done. So if you decide to run through an area that has a bunch of little, like, sprite enemies, and you decide not to fight them, he might say, "Oh, I guess the kid didn't want to mess around with those little enemies." Whereas when you do rip through them, he'll say, "Oh, the kid made quick work of those sprites." And, I mean, he uses his voice. "Oh, you know, the kid didn't make good work." You know, cool voice, but I can't do it.
So it's like the movie preview kind of voice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like, I haven't listened to it yet, but right now I'm imagining the guy from Seinfeld, the boss.
Inner World guy.
Used to do Family Feud at one point.
Yeah, he's...
That just would sound cool to me.
He does the dog show.
That's my personal taste.
He does the dog show.
I don't know who you're talking about, but that probably is pretty cool, too. Alright. So, have you guys looked into Bastion much either, Tyler, Andrew?
Not really. I just remember it being the game that kind of reminded me of Disgaea when I saw pictures of it. Like, I was getting it confused, too, with other games that are a single word and start with B, like Brink and Breach and Bulletstorm. Yeah, Braid. Like, not all XBLA titles, but still, like, I was kind of confused. And so, like, once you started describing it, I remembered it exactly. But this game sounds really interesting. I'm going to try it. And you played it, and hearing what you said about it makes me want to check it out even more. So,
I've been talking to a few people on Twitter as well, Steven, and everyone I've talked to has loved what they've seen so far. So this is one of those games that I'm really looking forward to, as I think we're definitely going to be in for a treat, assuming everything, you know, goes well with it working on our Xboxes and stuff.
When's it come out again? What's the release date?
summer.
There is none, right? Yeah. My guess is this is going to be a Summer of Arcade title.
It seems
like one of those really popular sought-after titles. So I'm going to go ahead and put a prediction down of Summer of Arcade, and it's going to be 1,200 points. That's my prediction.
I'm kind of surprised that we haven't heard anything about this Summer of Arcade, because don't they usually start talking about it right now? I mean, it's
I think they're going to announce it at E3. That's something I'm imagining.
I can't remember when they do it. I feel like last year and the years before that, like, I knew about it way ahead of time. Like,
recording. I feel like Summer of Arcade has become a big enough thing now that they kind of want to, you know, brag about it, but they want to save it.
Makes sense.
They don't have to promote it as much. Once they could go a week early and just be like, here's your Summer of Arcade, and everyone be like, oh, awesome.
Yay! And
the games are going to be good. I mean, that's pretty much an assurance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's...
Just as a side question, how many games do you think are going to be in the Summer of Arcade this year? Because usually it's a mix. It's going to be five.
I was going to say it's five. It's five almost every year.
Five every year, yeah.
Their goal is always to get a decent mix. You know, you need at least one multiplayer title. There'll probably be one remake. There'll be at least one great Limbo title. That's, you know, adventure game. There's going to be, and you've had Monday Night Combat was... a nice multiplayer title, and Hydro Thunder was a remake, kind of. I mean, you're going to see that type of stuff. It's the same kind of build they're going to have. They'll probably have something that fits more to a Japanese audience. I mean, like with Castlevania, another remake.
Maybe the new Galaga Legions or something like that, because that was included in the first one, and that's a brutally hard game that only appealed to a certain niche group of gamers.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to when they finally announce Summer of Arcade. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they're the best games coming out each summer, as there's some games that, you know, just won't fit in there for very odd reasons or whatnot.
Yeah, like I remember the one-year Battlefield came out like the week before Summer of Arcade went off, and I was just thinking to myself, like, how is Battlefield not a Summer of Arcade game?
Oh yeah.
I honestly think they have to go exclusive, at least to some extent, because Microsoft doesn't want to promote, you know, a game that's coming out for another system, which honestly, I fully understand that. I think it makes perfect sense. If you're going to be able to say, hey, by including you in this, we're going to up your sales dramatically, do something for us to, you know, compensate. I think that's a fair trade. So, I mean, it's understandable to me. And, we've also got a release date now for Gatling Gears, which was, I think one of Andrew's favorites at PAX.
Gatling Gears.
Yeah, definitely. My absolute favorite at PAX. And, I don't know. I like dual stick shooters. This game felt great. It controlled well. It was really pretty to look at. And it's going to be coming out, I think, like May 11th, I think was the date. And it's going to be 1,200 points. And the price kind of turns me off a little, to be honest with you. I don't feel like this is a 1,200 point title, but that's because I rarely do feel like games are 1,200 points. But...
Yeah, I was about to say, this was your favorite at PAX, but you're not going to buy it day one.
No, I'm not. Unless, you know, we happen to get a review code, or if, you know, I win some type of contest or something. Because this has got 800 points written all over it. Whether it's not the release price or not, I mean, in a couple months, this will be definitely, you can just tell should be an 800 point game. But either way, it looks like a great game. So if you're not as stingy as me, then I would definitely check this one out.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's something a lot of people are looking into now, especially with all the sales that are happening as quick as they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
If a game comes out for 1,200 points and you really want it, you can buy it for 1,200 points.
Yeah, it's like Torchlight.
It'll go out.
That game came out at 1,200, and a lot of people were excited about that, and they bought it. But you know what? That will be 800 soon, and it'll have a huge resurgence in sales because of it. It doesn't matter which group you fall into, but the bottom line is a lot of people will probably be playing it, and... I think same can be said for Gatling Gears. I think this game will be one that people hold pretty high as, like, yeah, this game's just, like, super fun, especially with the online co-op. That was pretty fun. Playing with my friend at PAX was pretty fun. I can imagine that playing online with a couple of my friends that are more dual-stick enthusiasts like me, this will be a blast to play.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm excited for it. I should admit, though, when I was, and I'm just going back to Bastion for a second, when I was standing next to the developer and he was saying, you know, like, what do you think of the game? I said, I will give you a check, blank, and you can fill it out and you can tell me how much I have to pay for this game, because that's what I will pay for it. So if they charge like 20 or something, that's my fault. I apologize.
No, I think that's definitely something Microsoft's realized, is that they can kind of price discriminate a little bit here, and they can, you know, kind of go for that, you know, 1200 point market first, and that 800 point market will still be there when they want to touch it, you know, in 3 months later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, it's definitely a good business decision for them. I mean, it as an economics major from college, I mean, that just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's like you're paying, it's like anymore, the 1200 price has become like the premium to play it before the majority of people play it, I would say. I know a lot of people on my friends list buy games day one, no matter what the price, but then I also know a lot of them that buy whatever is on sale, so it makes sense for both ends.
Including yourself with Unbound Saga, right?
Oh my god,
you bought it for a dollar?
I bought it for $2, 160 points. I just finished it. I want to say that that is not a difficult game. It only takes about 5 hours to get all the achievements and to play through the campaign multiple times, but it is not a good game. So do not buy that if it goes back on sale for $2. Save your money.
Unless 200 achievement points is worth $2 and 5 hours of your time.
Yeah.
I like achievements, but not that much. I like also like money and better games. So.
Yeah, personally, I'm more a fan of my time than achievement points. So unless I'm enjoying the game, I'm not going to go for them.
I used it as my buffer in between like extreme levels of frustration with Load Runner. When I'd get like super pissed about something, I'd go play Unbound Saga for an hour and cool down.
I guess from that perspective, if you find an even worse game to make the other game look like it's not as bad, you might start to enjoy it. And I don't even think Load Runner was that bad originally. I just think you've somehow come to hate it.
Oh, I never liked it. I only bought it. I don't know if I said this on a show or not, but I only bought it because there was a price discrepancy when it was first released and it was on sale. And this was back when sales did not happen ever. So you had to take advantage of what you could. So I blindly bought this one. There's been like three games I've bought without demoing, and I've regretted them all. And Load Runner is clearly one of those games that I regret buying.
So I don't get it. Why are you playing it so much if you hate this game?
Because I had 200 in it, and they added DLC, and I am not letting the developer take my completion away. So what you throw at me, I will handle
one of the biggest cans of worms that's ever happened on this podcast. We've gone over this. Andrew will finish a game to get his completion. He does not care how bad it is. It will happen.
I don't care what you do. What you think you can put in a game, I will figure it out. Trust
me. You can develop something as bad as you want. He will find a way to beat it.
Oh, so that's
he will be in counseling in 5 years, but he will beat it.
Yeah.
And it looks like Microsoft has added some new measures to indie game ratings. I don't know how many of you guys remember, but back with College Lacrosse, about a month ago, the game ended up, you know, shooting through the ranks, ended up being ranked really, really high on the Xbox Live Indie Marketplace, and a bunch of games started dropping like rocks. Mm-hmm. And it looked like the fans of College Lacrosse's Facebook page were people doing it. And Microsoft stepped in, and they've made it so now you have to have a silver account to rank games. Do you think that's enough to actually change this? Or?
No, I don't. I think it's enough to take care of maybe like 3% of the problem, but I don't know. I really feel like if you're a gamer to the point where you're looking up a lacrosse game, a very niche game, and you're on his Facebook page, and you're doing whatever, you know, rating his game, and then you're taking that extra step to demote other games, I feel like you probably got an Xbox Live account at this point. And when you go to Xbox.com, it more than likely automatically logs you in. I really doubt that many people were clicking on that link without Xbox Live accounts and rating it low. It just doesn't seem... I don't know anybody that doesn't have at least a silver gamer tag these days. I don't see how anybody that's reading anything gaming-related would not have at least a silver account.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If you're going to go through that much effort already to de-rank a game, to rank up a game that you do like, mm-hmm. odds are you probably do have an account. And I don't see why you'd care enough to go through this unless they were giving away money or something to do it. I think what it's really showing is that Microsoft doesn't actually care that much about the Xbox Live indie games. I mean, they made a big fuss about this, the indie games developers and stuff, and rightfully so. Because, I mean, this is the only source, really, that they have of getting recognition, because sadly, a lot of sites just can't cover them. I mean, it's difficult to cover the amount of games that come out on the Xbox Live Mini Marketplace, and we've talked about it. It's oversaturated. There are too many to be able to actually look at all the good ones, because, I mean, there's so many that aren't.
I think a move that would show that they do care not only about indie games, but all their games' ratings, and show that they actually give a damn about the rating system in general, would be a you have to buy it in order to rate it system. Because too many times, not to say like Shadow Complex is a bad game, but I remember before Shadow Complex came out, it was the top rated XBLA game on that top 50 list for like 3 weeks before it came out. And it's like, yeah, it's probably going to be a good game, but how the hell do you know it's the number one game right now, you know? And it's just, I really think that it should be a, if you bought it, then you also reserve the right to vote on it. And until we see that, I really don't see those rating systems meaning much. When I look at a rating system, I usually just think that I just scratch my head, like, how the heck did this get 4.5 stars, or why is this only a 2-star rating? I rarely agree with the ratings when I look at them.
I totally agree, because I don't even look at the ratings for Xbox Live Arcade games that are given by users, because in general, I mean, most of them are just crazy. I mean, the same thing with just normal retail games. Like, anytime a site lets you post reviews on a game that's not out yet, it's just idiotic, in my opinion. Like, I've never understood that. You can't give a game 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10 before the game's out. I mean, that's just completely, completely stupid to me.
Yeah, and all they have to have is, like, a trailer on the marketplace or, like, some gamer picks, and you can go rate it.
Clearly, just judging by this gamer picture that I can unlock, it's definitely a 10 out of 10 game.
Yes, and 10!
Maybe that works for you, Tyler, but I've never been able to just deal with that mindset. It does not make sense to me. I mean, that's part of why I like sites like ours, where you can go to them and you can actually get an unbiased view that, I mean, it's our opinion, but I mean, it's not, we've played the game. we're not rating this on something that we have not actually picked up and gone through, you know, all of it.
Yeah, this game's perfect. Definitely. All right, 10, next.
Yeah, whenever I review a game, like, I make it a point to get all the achievements before I even start thinking of the review. Like, I want to play it thoroughly and take in everything that I can before I actually sit down and write something about it. And it's like, this rating system on Xbox.com requires, like, maybe a half a second of thought before you review something.
Random question. Do you think that, like, playing a game for review that much is detrimental to the review? Because...
No.
Like, look at Load Runner, because you play it so much to the point where you hate it. If you had to review it, would that affect your review, because you've played it to the point of needing therapy?
Nah, because I pretty much hated that, like, an hour in. it's usually when you're reviewing something and you're, like, writing and you're playing it, like, way beyond what you probably should play it. You're either continuing to love the things you love, or you're continuing to hate the things you hate. It's not like... It's not like it's really like, oh, damn, if I only would have clocked out at 5 hours, I would have given this a good review, but now I'm at 10 hours and I hate the game. Now, I can rarely see that ever happening.
No, I totally agree with you there, because I've been reviewing games for retail games as well for about 4 years now. And I mean, when you pick up a game, you normally can tell within an hour whether or not you're going to enjoy it. Every once in a while, there'll be something more often than not, you know, a new plot mechanic or a new... just, you know, a game mechanic that somehow gets added in randomly like 5 hours in that changes your opinion. But normally that's the type of stuff that just can redeem a failure more than, you know, kill a game. Yeah. Unless it happens to be Brutal Legend, which, you know, after the first 30 minutes, I thought this was going to be the greatest thing ever. And then I realized that it was an RTS.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still slightly bitter about that, but I'm okay now that you guys are making stacking and costume quests and trenched, because those look awesome. Yeah. Though I'm not going to say Trench is a 10 out of 10 yet, because I have not played it. Though I did just get an email from Tyler saying that Shadow Complex 3 is a 10 out of 10, and you should also buy it.
Well, I would have
to... I've already gotten paid for that review, so that one's definitely a 10 out of 10.
I just wanted to add that as someone who's... I'm kind of new to the review process, and especially just kind of scoring a game. And one of the things that I had a hard time with is with games that I don't like. You know, like, I'm a half an hour in, I'm 2 hours in, you know, in an indie game, 4 hours into a game is, for some of them, you know, you've played the game 4 times. And so it's not a matter of how much, I don't think it's always a matter of specifically how much time, but it's time based on the game that you're playing. And what I came to learn about, you know, the review process was that the more time I did spend with it, I already had my decision. I already knew whether I liked or disliked the game. But I could then look at it and say, okay, this time, for the next, you know, 20 minutes, all I'm going to do is stare at the visuals. All I'm going to do is critique what I'm seeing. You know, one specific game, Sugar Killers. It looks good. It has an excellent soundtrack. The game I really did not like. But for an indie title, you can buy the game and just listen to the soundtrack. It's in the menu. I would literally buy that game just for the soundtrack. And that's what I said in my review. But if I stopped, you know, an hour in, I would have basically just trounced the game and said, you know, it's junk. I don't really like it.
No, I think that's the type of stuff you notice the longer you play, is more of the subtle nuances to a game. And I mean, beyond a game where you have to play the entire, you know, story mode, which is normally more of a retail type of thing, where, you know, you might have to go 20 hours to finish a story. I think that's definitely the type of stuff that, you know, can sometimes save a game, because you'll be like, well, game mechanics aren't that great, but it's really well written, or it's got absolutely beautiful, you know, graphics. I mean, you might notice something like the draw distance is something that you haven't seen in a game like this in forever. I mean, there's tons of things that can, you know, kind of subtly help a game. And I mean, it's those are the type of things that you don't notice right away. Yeah. But speaking of games that had bad reviews in a sense, Hydrophobia, and they're getting a sequel. Does it deserve it?
I don't know. I guess I'll talk about it, because I did review Hydrophobia, and that game has a very strange history, because, like you said, it came out and it got reviewed terribly by most places. Some reviewed it favorably, including our site, but the feedback that the developers got, I remember reading stuff that, like, they started attacking certain journalists, not attacking, I guess they should, but trying to call them out, like saying they didn't play the game right, they didn't understand it. And then, like, it seemed like a few weeks later, they just decided to release like a new patch for it and just fix everything that was wrong with it to begin with. So it was kind of like they called out certain journalists for not playing the game right, and then went back and fixed everything that they said was wrong to begin with. And now it's getting a sequel. So I thought this game was always supposed to be like a trilogy. So
from the start, the game was planned as a trilogy. And for me, honestly, I loved the concept. I didn't like its execution. At E3, I sat there and played it for like an hour, which honestly, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot when you're considering it was right next to Fable 3 and Crackdown 2. And I would have much rather gone over to them. So I was sitting there and I talked to, you know, the developers there, and I'm just like, are you guys going to change this? Are you guys going to change that? And they're like, well, no, I think we're going to have to keep it like that for release. And I was like, oh, darn it. And then eventually when it actually got released, a lot of that stuff was what got patched. I was like, oh, thank God.
So I thought it was like a game that was always worth playing, you know, like even if it was like not always good, but I thought it was worth playing in a way, because it was different, you know?
Well, the thing is, it was the first Hydrophobia, assuming there actually is going to be another, which it looks like there is. It showed up on the Australian rating as Hydrophobia Prophecy. And assuming there is going to be a sequel, the first one more or less felt like a tech demo. And honestly, the water effects are amazing. Like, these guys have an amazing, amazing engine on their hands. The thing is, they just need to figure out how to best use it to make it, you know, showcase the engine, but not just showcase the engine, to actually make it fun as well. And that was the problem with the first one, is it just had too many. I didn't like the mini-map very much. I kept getting, you know, lost every once in a while with the swimming. It just wasn't as much fun as it could have been. The combat was not fun. I mean, there were other things that I just didn't have much fun with. I mean, that's more or less what it was. I just didn't enjoy it. And I'm hoping that they can fix that, because the game honestly had a lot of promise. Like, the skeleton's there. It's just they need to put some meat on it, and they need to, you know, give it some actual muscle and some
make it sexy.
Make it good. Yeah, make it sexy. There you go.
Make it fun, too. That's the big thing. Just make it fun. Yeah. Because a lot, I don't know. I remember demoing it. I did buy it, but this is likely a game that I bought that I'll never play. But I do remember not liking the hacking part of it. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. The waves and stuff.
I just thought that, like, totally broke up the flow of the game.
I thought the hacking minigame was pretty cool considering how, like, most hacking games go. I thought that was actually, like, interesting for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad, but it definitely wasn't something that really stood out to me as being awesome.
Yeah.
I just thought it could have done without it. It, like, broke up any fun I might have been having at that point.
Well, I feel like a lot of times stuff like that's just added in to extend the game.
Uh-huh. Which is, this will add another 30 seconds of gameplay.
I remember when we talked to Brian Provinciano about Retro City Rampage. That was one of his big things on game development, is he kept saying, you know, so many games nowadays are trying to get that 20-plus hour, you know, label on, you know, retail, or that 6-plus hour label on XBLA. And it's, they're adding in the unnecessary stuff. Like, the examples he gave us were a lot of adventure games. I'm not going to name specifically which, but some you might have to drive from one end of the map to the other, or you might have to do a follow mission for one end of the map to the other just to get out and actually do the real mission that's actually fun. Yeah. And a couple of the others were, you know, you might do the exact same thing, but you might be in, say, the Da Vinci era and, you know, have to travel way, way too far.
When it's, I wonder what game we're talking about. Much
fun. Yeah, I know. Either of those are very hard to figure out. You don't play games.
Well, like, examples of the clear examples that you don't have to do that is the recent Portal 2. I don't know about you guys, but it only took me about 10 hours to go through the single player campaign, and I still feel like that's one of the best games I've ever played. And Limbo was a pretty exceptionally short, but it was still one of the best XBLA games I've ever played. So you don't need to do that stuff. Just make your game fun, and people will forget the fact that it took half the time as whatever game they played last week.
No, I think that's definitely evident, especially with Portal. I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, the original Portal was, you know, attached to Orange Box and then was released on Xbox Live Arcade. And it was great, but it's really short. Couldn't really stand on its own if it was going to be a retail release. But this new one, despite the fact that it really isn't a long game by any stretch of the imagination, is exceptional. And then they've added in another co-op campaign, which adds in even more time. So, I mean, despite the fact that you may only get 10 hours your first playthrough, combining both campaigns, it's not that bad of an investment. It's a great game.
Yeah. And I'll see you guys. I don't have it yet.
Well, moving on to some games that you actually do have, Tyler. Section 8 came out this last week. So you want to just share some, you know, quick ups, downs with that game? Because I know we've talked it to death.
Alright, the first down that I had, I'll just say right off the bat, this is the first thing I noticed about it, is that it locks up and freezes during swarm mode, especially. At least for me, I've had a lot of problems.
I'm hearing a lot of that, too.
Not ever in single player campaign or the conquest mode. It's swarm mode. I don't know what it is. And it locks up my Xbox so bad. This is funny. I actually hit the power button on my Xbox and it didn't turn off. I had to unplug my Xbox, and the picture was still on my TV after I pulled the power plug out. How is that possible? I mean, that is one hell of a freeze for it to like unplug my system and still get a picture on my TV.
Did it make a crazy noise when you turn the Xbox back on? Mine does that now. Whenever certain games lock up in certain ways, it makes like a noise whenever I first turn it back on.
It sort of made like a chirp sound, like almost like the disc kind of just like came to a screeching stop almost. Because I had a disc in my tree and I think that the disc was spinning for some reason. But
it's crazy.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre lockup, and it kind of made me nervous because I was like, that sounds pretty bad for my Xbox. I'm not sure if I want to take any risks because, you know, I have like the newer model Xbox, so I don't want to break.
Just go play conquest mode.
Well, Tyler's got the new model. I got the old model. I had the exact same problem. I've played about 8 games of Swarm. 7 of them worked. 1 has not.
Oh, yeah.
And conquest, I've not had a single problem. I've played about 2-3 hours of that. I've played about an hour or two of the single player now, and I haven't had a problem with that either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, the only thing we've had problems with is Swarm, but I mean, I know 4 or 5 people now who have told me they've had the exact same problem me and Tyler had. So, I mean, that's the only down for me with the game at the moment.
Honestly, hopefully they fix it, though, because that's a really fun game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I'm loving, you know, just the whole ability to, you know, drop in droppable objects, you know, like the anti-air turrets to just put them up next to you if you want to stand up on a building and snipe to make sure your enemies can't drop near you. I mean, it's great. I love all the different elements there are to this game.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's got so much versatility to it that even if you don't like all of it, you're going to find something you do like. Which, I mean, I think that's absolutely amazing, especially for an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of depth. I haven't really found the the perfect combination of like armor abilities and like weapon loadouts that I have yet. Because sometimes I feel like I die too quickly or I can't kill enemies fast enough. And
well, I mean, and part of it is you don't have all the unlocks available yet. I mean, I've seen all of them on another version I played a while back, and there's just so much stuff. Like once you get everything, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. But I do want to share that when we had the interview with what was the guy's name that we interviewed? I can't remember. It was
Mark Yetter.
Yeah. I did. If he's listening right now, I did drop a turd or whatever on a dude's head. Like I said, I was going to happen completely by accident, but I caught one in, and it fell right on top of a dude's head and killed him. And I did drop in and land on somebody and kill them too in a game. I was really irritated at first because the first time I did it, I actually did it once. I came in, landed on a dude and killed him. And I didn't get the achievement for it. And I like freaked out. I was like, "What? I did it!" And then like I two deaths later, I did it again. So I was like, "Okay." Blood pressure.
That's good. Don't have a heart attack over Section 8 over here.
Yeah, I had to take a deep breath and calm myself. I was like, okay, all is okay. I got the achievement. It's okay now. So, but yeah, I've had a ton of fun with that game. A lot of Battlefield moments where I just see something happening off in the distance and I just have to laugh at it because it's totally random and crazy.
No, there's just so much craziness to this game when you can just have, you know, five enemies drop around next to you instantly and then just fly away on a jetpack somehow and escape by using that crazy turbo. Yeah. And I mean, you probably, you know, you might run into all those enemies while sprinting and kill them when they drop. I mean, it's got some crazy stuff to it.
I don't know about you guys, but I got like a whole like Transformers movie vibe when like your whole team just rockets down at the same time. It's just, oh, just so awesome when that happens. Like everyone just kind of crashing into the planet and getting up at the same time and then just tearing it up. So much fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix of a Transformers ODST type feel. I mean, honestly, that's a nice little mix right there.
That's getting pretty close to the dream. Yeah, it's just like pure awesomeness.
I think it's time to talk about fancy pants over here, though, just so Tyler doesn't have any cardiac problems with
blood
pressure. So Fancy Pants Adventures released. Kind of a bad week to come out when it's coming against Section 8, which has been promoted a little bit better, and then Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat, and even SOCOM 4, despite the fact PSN is down. I know, kind of sad on that one. I have a friend who's trying to review it, but he can't play it, so I mean, that makes it a little difficult to meet your deadlines.
Yeah.
But Fancy Pants Adventures, what do you guys think of it? I know, Andrew, you did not like this game when they showed it to your PAX.
Yes, I did not like it at PAX. It turns out PAX was only local multiplayer, even though I was told that it was also the single player. And I was thinking like single player was just going to be like you against bots. And I thought, wow, well, that sucks. But after getting a chance to play the demo, I think it's a pretty fun game. I think if you've played games like Super Meat Boy and M+, you'll likely enjoy it, but you'll also likely think that this game is on ice because it just seems like the guy like skids a little too long. And awesome. One thing I did not like about it was no air control. Like one thing I love about Super Meat Boy is that if I jump, I can go like left, right before I hit the ground, and I can just like control every exact move. And on Fancy Pants, it's all about momentum. Yeah. I didn't like that as much because after playing, you know, 20 plus hours of Super Meat Boy, my skill set for these kind of games is always trying to go like left, right, and it's all about the air control. And it's really tough to wrap my mind around something that doesn't control like that. I thought the music in this was amazing, though. Like the very first tutorial level, I sat there for like 20 minutes and just listened to that music. I was talking to a friend in a party chat about it, and I was just like, you know, this and the recent Islands of Wakfu game, these little arcade games are really putting a lot of effort into their audio, and it's shining and showing through too. Because one of the first things that my friend said to me when he joined my party was, I like the music in that game. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty amazing. And it's a pretty fun game. The only problem I have with it is the achievements. I really don't want to play another game and beat every part time and get a gold medal on every level. So I'll be honest, I doubt I pick it up because I just don't feel like going out again. But other than that, I think it's fun.
No, tell us how you feel. Played a bit. I definitely enjoyed it. It's very fun, but like Andrew said, it's different than Super Meat Boy in the sense that it is momentum based. which I mean, that's a completely different control scheme to what a lot of people are going to be used to. I mean, most of the game is based around keeping that momentum or getting that momentum to get certain objects and to be able to make certain jumps, which, I mean, that makes it very different. I mean, but for someone out there who's looking for something that's going to waste a lot of time and actually be enjoyable, this would be a good pickup in the sense that there are so many stupid items you have to collect. They are all over the place. So, I mean, if you are one of those people who just likes to collect stuff in games and that's what you want to do, this is a good game for you to just, as long as you have time. If you don't have time, this will eat up whatever you have. Because, I mean, there's just so much stuff to get. And each level has the different little squigglies and the stars and the bottles. And
there's so many different colored squiggles.
So many different random stuff. And then, I mean, you can unlock all the different, you know, outfits for your fancy pants, man. And, I mean,
some of this stuff is ridiculously fun. I was a little disappointed in that. Like, I didn't know much about the single player, but going into it, the first question I asked of somebody that had previously played a lot of the campaign was, okay, well, do different pants give me different abilities? Like, I thought that, like, you know, blue pants would make you stick to the ground and freeze or something. Like, you know, I just thought, like, that there was going to be an emphasis on the fancy pants that you wear, and there wasn't. It was just aesthetic.
That's the one thing that there really was no, you know, real fancy pants, except for the fact that, you know, this is very much played out like a kid and his sister the whole time through, and they're just calling their pants, I guess, fancy. But, I mean, there's no kind of superpowers to your pants. I mean, I kind of thought the same thing, too, when I looked at how many different things you have. I figured maybe something would give you a different kind of ability, like maybe one pair of pants keeps you from falling as quickly or something.
Or the weapons, and, like, maybe the candy cane would let you hook on things or something like that, but that's not to be said.
No, I mean, it's more or less just a different way, a different scheme. I mean, it's cool. It's a nice little thing to give the game a little bit more personality, which, I mean, personality is always a good thing.
I really appreciate a game that'll allow for customization. I like, you know, like, the fancy pants, but I really connect to, like, the user-generated content type games. So I want to see Microsoft connect to those a little bit more.
Oh, I love user-generated content. More in the form of like a level editor, though, than, you know, just a different pair of pants that's a different color.
Well, yes, The deeper the customization, the better. But I'm just saying that I like that about Fancy Pants. If there was something I could say that I did enjoy about it, like, I always appreciate that addition.
Alright, so have you been playing the Gears beta then to get all the different forms of the Lancers and the weapons and Thrashball Cole and all of that?
I am, and I'll share this with you. We were talking about kind of that Section 8 situation of being in, like, the perfect storm of a multiplayer game. I got into a modded room in the Gears of War 3 beta, and it was... This is great. Okay, so it's 5-on-5, 6-on-6. The lights are out. The amount of space on the map is one large box. Like, you can run 8 steps and then you're to the other end. And
so basically a chainsaw fest.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but so, you know, like, every single guy, you can't see one another. So if somebody shoots, you can see him. If someone gets into a chainsaw battle, you can see him. And you can just see the little bit of light, because the Gears have the little blue lights, and the Horde, they have a little bit of red. And, man, I had 58 chainsaw executions by the
time.
But the thing was, it was modded, so you could not pause, you could not, like, you could change what you were using for weapons, but you couldn't leave the match. So,
oh, that's weird.
Oh, I was
like, you're weird. Stuck in this hell forever until we say you're going to leave.
You know, pull out the Ethernet plug and get out of the mod match if you really wanted.
Yeah, no, I had to, like, I mean, I was playing up to like 5 minutes before the podcast because I was just like, I don't want to leave because I want all my statistics, but they're not going to.
You're done when we say you're done.
Yeah, I just see it now. Epic's going to be looking at those and be like, yeah, you didn't get 57 chainsaws in one match. There's not enough lives.
That was the best part. There was no lives. And then when somebody realized that, they're like, oh, if I use the sawed-off shotgun when everybody's in these chainsaw battles, they'll all die.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for. I'm like, for me, Gears of War has always been a roll and shoot your shotgun kind of game. And I mean, that's not my type of game, really. I prefer more of the Call of Duty or the Halo.
Well, they added a little bit more. The hammer burst, I really appreciate. They added looking down the sights. And you can pick guys off from across the map. As long as you know, like if you're hitting them in the face, you shoot them 3 or 4 times, you can down some people from a distance. And they do have some other distance weapons. But it still is, you know, you want to get up close and personal because you want to get those executions. You want to chainsaw a guy or with the retro lancer, stab him and like hold him up in the air. That's trophy.
Yeah!
Exactly.
Coltrane.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
So it was fun.
How did this happen? Like, you get into a dark room like this. I don't understand, like, how this happened, because...
Someone's modding already, which is... The guy's going to get banned pretty quickly, probably, once they catch him.
But it's a good thing. It's a good thing it's happening in the beta, so they can...
I mean, that's part of the point of the beta, is to figure out, you know, the networking problems. Honestly, it does sound like a fun
game. That sounds hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you could make a custom game mode on the game, that'd be pretty funny.
God, that's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
I haven't really gotten to play the beta that much, because I've been waiting for my... Because my wife and I used to play Gears 1 all the time. Played a lot of Gears 2, but not quite as much. And now that the beta's out, I've been really wanting to play it, so I've been holding off playing it until she like has time and feels like playing it. So it's been out for like a week now, and I haven't really played it that much. I'm like, come on, I want to play it.
You should go play it a little bit and just tell her you're trying to unlock the female Gears character, so when she plays, she doesn't have to be a dude.
Oh, excellent.
That's your excuse.
Yeah, you need to play.
I'm thinking ahead for you.
You need to play 10
she
matches.
She didn't want to be on you, too. So
10 matches, yeah.
Okay.
I think that'll get you through a couple hours.
All right, I can do that. I can justify that.
Yeah, thankfully Xbox Live is just working, because I know this has been a huge week for releases. We mentioned this briefly already, Mortal Kombat, Portal 2, wow, I nearly just blanked on that, Section 8, Fancy Pants, and the Gears beta, and if Xbox Live is down right now, I guarantee you people will be with pitchforks throwing a fit. And right now, PlayStation Network's down. I mean, that's something that has happened in the past to Xbox Live. Something hopefully won't happen for an extended period of time again to Xbox Live. But what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, like, what are you going to do if like Xbox Live goes down and go play PlayStation? Seriously, like, what do you do? But
I go to Steam.
I can tell you one thing, that if Xbox Live goes down this fall, unfortunately you won't be able to watch football at the moment, and may not even be able to watch basketball, so they need to make a collective bargaining agreement already. Before I just accidentally break down one of these buildings. Yeah, I know. UFC is going to be like the only thing around, that and college sports.
UFC is slowly becoming one of the more important, well, not UFC, MMA is becoming one of the more important sports in at least America. It's up there with
But
like,
let's
talks.
Be real, they just bought out Strikeforce, which I mean, that was absolutely huge.
And they're possibly, I don't know, they're hinting at, like, my cousin's huge into this stuff, and he tells me all this crap. Right now they have like a teaser trailer video, they're hitting at like a their own channel or their own internet service where you can maybe like subscribe to it or something like that in the near future, so you know,
be interesting.
They're definitely pushing their weight right into the sports realm and making themselves relevant.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
But anyway, that's enough sports talk.
Assuming Xbox Live is still up, which thank God it will be, it looks like. We have our community play date this Friday, April 29th.
Yes,
so
sir.
Hopefully, you guys will come join us. We're playing some Hydro Thunder. Right now, I have some DLC codes. A couple other random things that I'm trying to figure out how we want to give out for the game. Vector Unit's been great. They've given us some stuff, and it's definitely going to be fun. I know my friends list has been flooding up. I think it's full at the moment.
Yeah, if
I added a bunch of people. Sorry if you can't make it. Actually, if you're listening to this podcast and you send me a message on Xbox Live saying I listened to the podcast, please add me. I will find a way to add you.
Same for me too. Because I noticed that my gamer tag is not on the story, so like I haven't had any friends requests. I'm gonna be there. So
well, there we go. If you can't add one of us, add at Tyler Tron.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's your gamer tag. I know it is for Twitter.
Well, no, I'm thinking about changing my gamer tag on Xbox Live to be my Twitter thing, because it just makes sense to have the same handle, kind of brand myself, yeah, sort of thing. But yeah, my Twitter handle is at TylerTron with a zero for Tron, and my gamer tag, which I've had, this has like been my name since like middle school when I first got AIM, Metal Inside 25, capital M.
Oh, duh, I should have known. I was playing Second 8 with you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's different. I'm thinking about changing my name to Tyler Tron just to make it easier, though. I know it's 800 points to change your name, which is the stupidest thing ever, but
oh, it's so I'm much better. I might do it. It's so much better to have that option, because I couldn't get I'm Goatee on Xbox Live, and that was a nickname I had throughout college and late high school. And now I have Goatee Socks on PSN, and I can't change that. I desperately want to change that. But I can't.
What do I do if Tyler Tron is taken on Xbox Live, though?
It'll give you options.
I'm going to go make an account real quick.
Yeah. That's well, does anybody else?
That's why I got so quiet.
Does anybody else do like I do and just register Xbox Live accounts like left and right when I think of good names or words, and I just have all these? It's like domains. I have like 20 of them that I'm probably never going to use, but at least I own the rights.
All right, so Andrew has just created a completely new market.
I do
over
not.
Here.
I do
he
not have
Xbox
the Tyler
Live Tron gamer tag squad. If you have a cool name that you thought of that is not available, you might want to message him. He might have it.
Dude, I had a friend that worked at Blockbuster, and when they were getting rid of the 3 month, or was it the 1 year? I don't remember. But they were getting like a whole bunch of trial Xbox Live cards for like a month and 3 months. So we had like 10 of them. So we handed them out to like me and a bunch of friends from work, and we were just like creating like funny, stupid gamer tags. I had to do with like movies and stuff like that. So we had like a bunch of like gamer tags that were all Jurassic Park themed, like Dino DNA and Clever Girl and all these stupid things like that. And we'd all just get into a room and see if people like noticed it. we'd have like five different gamer tags in a single room, all with the same theme.
That would be pretty funny, because I can just see that now, you know, just sticking the dude and a bunch of other random stuff related to like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, like but it'd all be like the same movie or like the same type of reference. So it'd all be like a bunch of Big Lebowski references or like a bunch of like really like stupid nerd references or something like that. But it'd all be related, so it'd be hilarious to be all together. And then we just go like into a Halo game and do ranked matches, and of course we were all been playing Halo forever, and we're getting paired up against people who had never played before, who are ranked like level one, so we were just tearing these people up and like having a great time. Of course, it wasn't a great time for them, but we had a great time, and that's all that mattered.
Yep. It's all about
me. Well, that's our
pretty much
next community play date. We'll get all the fake names put together, and you'll have to guess the movie.
Yeah, that'll be how you win the DLC code we give out.
It'll be
a random pick, like a random winner chosen from the people that guess the correct reference.
Dude, I think the funniest gamer tag I ever seen in my entire life was like Fetus Punter or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like most of those are the ones that eventually get blocked.
Yeah.
I have one. Oh, I probably can't say this on the podcast though. It's not like curse words, but he's been banned for it repeatedly, and he just creates like a new version of the same gamer tag to spell differently every single time. I'll share it after we get off the air, because I probably can't say it on the podcast.
All right. The most obscure one I ever seen was the Rural Juror, which is a. Does anybody know what that is?
30 Rock.
Yes. Yes. I seen that one day and just busted up laughing in the lobby. Oh, man. When I see a good gamer tag like that, I make sure to go out of my way and send that guy a friend, or not a friend request, but like a message like, ha, that is a great gamer tag. You're a part of what makes Xbox Live even better, is when I could just laugh at a gamer tag.
So funny. Jesus. My wife has like an obviously girl gamer tag. So whenever we play games together, we always get like messages left and right from guys like want to be friends, like, hey, are you really a girl? Like, they think it's all like funny to like message her and be like, oh, you're a girl, can we be friends and stuff like that. And it's like, oh my god, yes, I'm a girl, I play video
see
games.
What you should do is you should just trade gamer tags and just see what
happens. Yeah,
because I don't think anyone with metal inside or whatever is a female, they're gonna be kind of scared of that or whatever.
Yeah, I'm a girl,
get away.
Well, if they find out it is a girl, they're probably going to have some questions.
Yeah, for sure. And
where's
if you guys
metal?
Have any interesting, you know, gamer tags, send us a message with them on Twitter.
Yeah, tweet at us.
We'll retweet them if they're good enough. We'd love to hear some of these.
Yeah, these
and
are
our
fun.
Twitter
these are
is
always funny.
You can reach us at XBLA fans. Pretty simple. It's the site name, so not very hard. And yeah. Speaking of that, we're going to close things out, I think. Hopefully you guys can join us for Community Play Day. Again, that will be April 29th. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know I'm looking forward to it. I haven't played Hydro Thunder in a while, and I love that game. And the site is now back up on iTunes. I wanted to remind all of you, please subscribe. Every episode should come out on a Tuesday unless we have a special reason for moving it to Wednesday. Every once in a while, there's an embargo, and we just have to.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, we should have a cool show for you next week. We're going to have a guest, and it should be interesting.
Oh, and yeah. We're going to talk about a community topic that me and John and a fan from Twitter had gone a couple rounds with this weekend about indie games and XBLA games and GamerScore and all kinds of questions.
All kinds of questions that are asked from that. We all know that GamerScore and achievements are one of Andrew's favorite topics. So I'm sure this will definitely be interesting.
I'm right there with you.
I got to remember Tyler. Tyler loves them too.
Yeah,
that
I think
MLG
everybody loves
and dropping on people's heads and
War Mages and video
War
game
Mages.
Music.
I was about to say, if you guys remember, make a ball physics War Mage game. If you can find a game with ball physics, War Mages, maybe a little bit of a top-down twin stick shooter.
There you go.
I mean, that's pretty much like the greatest XBLA game in the history of XBLA games. Just make sure it has good music.
Yeah. Quick plug, too. Speaking of ball physics, Steve Melton wrote a thing today about some games that you can replace your ball physics itch with if you are missing out on not buying Marble Blast before it went away. So,
hey,
he put
Andrew,
a couple
you should,
up.
You should write a feature on, like, the top 10 best ball physics games on
XBLA. Well, see, Steve wrote it, and I didn't know he was working on it, so I read it, and I immediately chimed in with two more that he had missed. And we got a pretty good list there of similar games to Marble Blast on the site. So if you guys are sad that you missed out on Marble Blast, check that out. You might be able to find a decent replacement.
Yeah, for sure.
If you guys are itching to play with some balls, go check out this article.
I'm sure that's encouraging a lot of people to go look really fast.
Some ball itching. All right. Stop.
Yeah, we'll definitely stop there. Again, please feel free to give us any topics you want to hear us talk about on Twitter. You can reach us at XBLA fans. You can also reach me if you want to ask me something for some reason. I don't know why. I'm not near as interesting. At Kane141. And then, I'll let the rest of the guys do their thing.
I'm at TwixPrintmatic on Twitter. Go ahead and give me a follow, Tyler.
Sorry. As mentioned earlier, I'm at TylerTron with a zero. I'm going to work on changing my gamer tag so it'll make it a little bit easier for everybody. But for right now, at TylerTron on Twitter. And Steve?
Yeah, I'm at The Married Gamer at Twitter. Not to be confused with The Married Gamers. That's an entirely different website. But they're very friendly.
They're very nice people. Chris Brown over there is a great guy.
Yeah, no.
I actually met him in, I want to say Dallas. Yeah, it was Dallas when I visited Robot.
Oh, cool. The Married Gamer at Twitter, GOATGOATEE on XBLA. I'm actually filling up with friends for the community play date. I had a lot of space, but I am basically going to fill my friends list with all you guys. So, do please message me. Let me know that you're listening to the podcast. I'll add you ahead of anybody else. You get a special preference because you're awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And if any developers out there happen to be listening to the podcast, we will be at E3 this year, and we would love to come and meet with you guys. So feel free to just hit me up on Twitter. I'll give you my email, and then we can go from there. And I'm definitely looking forward to E3 this year. I know you're going to be joining us, Steven, with Kmart Gamer.
Yeah.
And that'll definitely be a fun time for us. And we're going to have a lot of great coverage, and just need to check out the site. And after that, just thanks for listening, guys. Please subscribe on iTunes, and have a good week.
See you later.